My husband and I got to go up there Monday afternoon and until, I don't know, maybe 8:30 that night. And it's so alive up there. Rocks have a real stillness about them, a feeling of peace, and it always feels so good. Dinky Creek is just a great place to go. I highly recommend it. And, oh, we had this wonderful rainstorm come in. As my husband and I were driving up, I got all jazzed because here were these big thunderheads forming, you know, and by the time we get up there, they're blackening and kind of roiling around. It was wonderful. And for a while, I thought they had passed by and we weren't going to get anything. But just as Jenny and Josephine had dinner about ready, it really opened up and let loose. So we had dinner in the tent, Japanese style. And it was just, we all squeezed in the tent. It was great fun. It was just wonderful.
We saw the storm coming, so we set up the banquet room.
The banquet room, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, my. Oh, that must have been wonderful. Yes.
And my daughter said, she started walking down the pathway like she was, like, in a trap. She just walked for, like, a mile like that.
Yes.
And then after that, she started seeing things. She
sees
little black dudes running around on the rocks.
All right.
And then we both got scared. We started running.
Oh, darn. Oh.
So I was trying to calm her down, but it was a real powerful.
Yes, it is. Wonderful. I think it's one of the most powerful places in nature, Ayers Rock. And there must be a powerful vortex. Just looking at a picture of that rock, especially in some of the sunset pictures of it, you just can't miss it. It's mesmerizing. There are powerful places all over the earth where the energy of nature is very potent. I think the whole of the Pacific, all those islands, Hawaii in particular, is such a heartfelt place, and they have their own nature spirits, the Manahunis, that you can see, and you know, things that grow here like a pothos leaf maybe will get this big here or there. It's as big as a platter or a dinner plate. And off the island of Maui, you have so many of the mer people that work with the dolphins and the whales, and people are able to swim with wild dolphins and be accepted by them. It's just magical. So there are so many places like that in the world where nature is so alive and such a blessing to us. So, did you have something you wanted to share, Anne? Oh, I thought I saw your hand up.
There's a place that I spent
a lot of
time in and then the summer evening, but everyone gets totally dark. That's all the summer feeling, that's like a twilight. And then evening, when you walk, there's a particular forest area of woody area, which is called the Cuddy Dick.
Oh.
But it was always a light.
Oh, yes, I'm sure of it. Yeah. Were you a child at the time, Nan, or a young person? Yes. Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
I was just enthralled with the whole country. It's like the energy. Well, I mean, when you get out of the towns, when you get out of the big towns like Glasgow and get out on the roads, and everything was so green, different shades of green.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, fairies just having big, huge clams over there. And my energy was so high the whole time. it was like going home for me.
Yeah.
And we went up to the Orkney Islands to the Standing Stones.
Oh, yes.
And They were so awesome. I don't know how to explain them. And they give you just a few minutes. Oh, and I could have just had a nap around each one of them, you know.
I bet, yeah.
But I took a picture around a couple of them. But I don't know how to explain it. They were like they were alive.
I think they are.
And
yes.
And they just, what I felt from them was just like an invisible, like when a rocket takes off,
mm-hmm.
like from the core up through them, shooting way up. It was like
all
this
right.
power, this immense vibrating energy.
Yes.
They were just awesome. And I would have, if I ever go back, and I'd love to go back, I would like to go up, just take, have my own time and go up and just stay.
I think there's great healing energy in that. Oh, yes. That's my husband's heritage. And we do hope to plan a trip there someday. And I've been drawn to Scotland since I first heard about it as a child. I don't know where I heard about it, but the first thing that I wanted was a harp. When I was very, very little, I used to just drive my mother nuts. You know, here was, my mother was a working farm woman, really, and a nurse. So to think about something like that was an impossibility, but I look back now and see how strange that was as a child.
We drive in these little neighborhoods, and then there's an abbey.
Yes.
Out in the field.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so mystical, it's so old.
Yes, and of course...
The energy, everything around it is like so mystical. And
it is very old.
Yeah. Oh, well, not necessarily. I just felt the whole land. I wasn't in anything individual. I was just taken by the whole. Everybody, you know, there's so much rain over there, and everybody's little houses. They have these flower gardens.
Oh yes.
And the colors.
Yes.
And they're just really, they're earthy. She's so earthy over there. Those people. Survivor
connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know who they are.
You're Scottish, aren't you, Nan? Didn't you tell me that? Yes. I can hear it in your voice a little bit. Yeah. Well, and of course, in Europe and the Celtic countries, many of the cathedrals, abbeys, churches are built on power points, on the ley lines, on the Earth's meridians. So you go there and you are energized, awakened. If you're conscious at all, you know, you experience something.
I came back here. And I went into an immediate culture shock.
I bet.
And a depression.
I bet you did.
Because it's like over here, what came to me when I landed, in, especially when I had to go back to work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
People here, nobody knows who they are, kind of. Everybody just wanting to be like everybody else, or...
Or they don't want to know,
or
they distract themselves.
Just,
yeah.
And over there, those people, they it's like they've just come up out of the land. And they're just...
Oh, thank you for sharing about that. Yeah,
oh,
gosh.
We've always thought
that if we do go, we may not come back. Because I've had, when I first heard the Gaelic language, maybe 12 or 15 years ago, my heart blew open so much, and I started to shake, you know, and then to cry, and I knew that. That for me is like my soul language. I don't know how to say it otherwise. I cannot speak it with this mind, this lifetime, but I'm certain that I have it sometime. So. All the time. We have everything she's ever done. Enya, you know, and all the different, we have a lot of different music that's Celtic in nature that we love.
I'd like to go to Ireland. I'm sure that would
be oh, yes.
How beautiful that is. I can't see it being more beautiful than Scotland. But,
it's very,
very
comfortable. It's
yeah,
warm. It's so beautiful.
Ginny, didn't you visit when you were over there in Europe, or was it England?
I went to England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. Because the news so much, I mean, they're just everywhere.
Yes.
It's in fairy heaven.
Yes. Oh, that's a great question. But they aren't really. That's just our perspective. That's always what I used to think, too. But like coming here from where I live in Clovis, I have to pass through the Kettleman Hills, which is a desert, truly a desert climate. And everything right now appears to be dead. You know, it's all yellow or brown. There's very little green left. There are no trees to speak of, only the scrub and grasses and things like that. But what I get from desert is such serenity, such depth, such lasting, such stamina. I don't know how to put it. When I want stamina and I'm feeling worn out, either if it's hormones or whatever it is, and I feel like I have no physical energy left, I send my energy to the desert and bring back desert energy to me, to my physical body. It is very energizing in a very subtle way. It's very clarifying, like the ocean, but different. It's a different kind of clarity. I get sometimes such deep insight. That's it. It's very pure. It's very pure. Yeah, that's right.
So I used to think, you know, that it was dry around here, even with the oak trees. It was some summer. It's a dry area. Well, I'll tell you, palm
it is not a dry area.
They don't even have shrubs. It's just
Joshua trees, maybe.
It's just sand.
Yeah.
And you look at, they've got these mountains, and it's all, everything looks like sand. It's dry.
And it's a kind of energy that for a human being, since we are mostly water, I think, is more difficult for us to accept or feel comfortable with or understand.
Yeah.
I used to be afraid of the desert when I was younger. Now, so. Yeah, the hours in the Mojave.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, that was a great question. There's a wonderful story in one of Joan Grant's books. She was a woman who got a lot of her material published probably in the 20s, 30s, 40s, I'm not sure. But wonderful stuff. If you ever get a chance to read any of her books, I recommend it. And she tells about how her father was an anthropologist in Egypt or working in Egypt doing a dig or something. So they were all there and this amazing sandstorm came up. Well, this was a woman who, as a child, from the time she could walk and talk, saw into the other dimensions all the time. Even as a very young child, she would leave her body at night and go to the fields in World War I and help the boys who were dying to be safe, and if they were leaving their bodies, to know that they were safe, to bring them an angel, I'm a human being, you know, and you're safe. This little child. And as she grew older, she did more work with nature spirits and more psychic work and all that kind of thing. Well, when they were in Egypt, she was probably 7th or 8th grade, maybe freshman high school, something like that. This big sandstorm happened, and, you know, the whole thing, all the work had to stop. People were afraid they might suffocate to death. They just were not prepared for this. That had not been predicted, you know, and they weren't set for it. She went outside and in a very loud voice spoke to the sandstorm and said, "Please calm yourself, you know, we are going to die. We do not have the provisions to, or the wherewithal to live through your great strength. Please calm yourself." And the storm died down. You know, now her father saw her out there screaming at the top of her lungs with her arms raised up, you know. But she says that she could see all of these beings doing this mighty work, and they began to hear her when she told them how they were going to be so wounded or so injured if the storm lasted. So she has many, many stories like that of working with different beings in nature. If I were lost at sea, I would call to the mer people. You know, if you need rain, I had a friend when we first moved to Clovis who said, "We never get rain here," and we had the rainiest March ever after I moved over there. But I did a lot of ceremony and asking if it's in divine order for this little city or for the Fresno Clovis area, could we please have some rain? I would be so grateful. Even if nobody else notices it, I will notice. And I think it's gratitude. You know, Oprah's done a wonderful thing with the gratitude book of late that's making such a big hit with everyone. And it does change your life. When something happens and you express gratitude, that's like a gift back to the nature spirits. if you notice their bush or their flower, if you love your animals, if you love the wind when it comes up, or you're grateful for the cleansing rain or whatever, that to them is like an actual gift, the giving of a gift. And then, of course, you can give them little gifts. Something I didn't mention but that I like to do is if I have a time when I'm very teary, I save, if I use a tissue, you know, a Kleenex or something, I save the tissue that has my tears in it, and then I will bury it, because they're very developed emotionally and wanting to understand how the emotions work with humans who have a physical body, which they do not. And so it's just a gift to them, little things like that, or the giveaways of cornmeal or other herbs and things like that. So, yes. Yes. See, you knew that innately as a child. Yes. All right.
Stand on a rock and just say this little silent prayer and throw the jewelry in the ocean.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Have you ever taken a picture of
them? You know, I haven't actually tried, per se. Someone else suggested I should do that, and I just haven't done it. It's a good idea. Have you, Cassandra? Oh, I'd love to see some. Oh, my goodness. Tell us about that a little bit. Share a little bit about it. All right. Oh. They'll peep out at you, huh? Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'd love to see some. Oh, now I'm going to go home and try.
What's really neat is Las Plumitas, after the Las Plumitas Fire.
Yes. Oh my.
I went back out and checked and that branch.
Looks like a branch, right? Yeah.
So they have quite a sense of humor.
They do, yeah.
But I've got some little team at the end of the magnifying glass, a little picture.
Uh huh. Oh, I'm gonna. Oh boy. All right.
And so then you have to really look with a magnifying glass and see the little tiny things.
Mm-hmm. Oh goody! Oh, something new to try. Yippee Skippy. That'll be fun. Oh, thanks for sharing that. Oh, good. Okay.
And I think the first camera I tried was
a
brownie.
No. I've got one of those. It was my grandmother's.
Brownie?
Well, I've got the box. I don't know if it was a brownie. I've got the box Kodak where you flip the thing.
That was a fairy joke.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, look at me. Must have been the... Gee, I missed that one, Janice. Oh. Oh, and that's something I haven't even mentioned. Oh, yes.
Also, there's a new book. I don't know if you've read The Elves of Lilydale Farm.
No, but I've heard about it. I'm sure that's not on my list. Let me just write this down. Lily Hill Farm. Isn't that a flower farm?
Is it?
Oh, grapes. I got the wrong... I'm thinking of the wrong thing.
A couple bought a farm in Minnesota, I believe, a vineyard on it. And they knew nothing from what was the elves.
Oh. The Elves of Flower...
Lily
Hill. Lily Hill. I got the wrong one. And who's the author, Cassandra?
Penelope somebody.
Okay. That's all right. The title will be perfect. Yes, if you haven't read about Findhorn, you really ought to get the, I think I've got the two big books on here, The Magic of Findhorn and The Findhorn Garden, and also Dorothy McLean's work, To Hear the Angels Sing. where she really talks about the connection that she made with all the Devic essences for the vegetables and flowers and different things that they grew there, and how she was instructed about what to do. And such a remarkable, wondrous story. When I first, it's many, many years ago since I read those books, but when I first read them, it was finally validation for me that my experiences were real. Someone else heard these voices. Someone else grew things where you weren't supposed to be able to grow things. When I was a child, we had a lot of clay soil. It's very hard to grow in that. But whatever I planted grew. And my mother had a few old iris, which is now my most favorite flower. Turns out that iris fairies really help the psychic in the human. I didn't know that until only recently someone shared that with me and showed me where they'd found that information. But those flowers would get up and just bloom profusely. She had an old lilac that was just twigs, you know, basically. And I loved that thing into an enormous lilac bush that was just covered with flowers. I have a small one now in Clovis. I thought I have to have another, have to try it. It's nice and hot over there, so it should bloom well, and it is. I've had rose bushes where gophers in Atascadero, when we lived here, ate them right off at the stem or the trunk of the rose where the rose connects to its roots. They took all the roots and left nothing. And I put it back in a special little thing to keep the gophers out, and asked the rose fairies to please come, and the rose bloomed the same season. That's not possible. So when I read about the work that was done in Findhorn, I just knew someone else knew what I knew, you know. And then, of course, we have Perelandra and now Lily Hill Farm, and oh, it's just so exciting. These things are, you're going to be hearing about this more and more. Well, that is all I have to share with you. I'd be very open to questions, or if anybody else has anything else they'd like to share.
They asked me not to tell where.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That makes sense. Sometimes I've had little beings say not to tell that I'm here. You know, or it's all right for you and your girl. They call Kirsten my girl usually, or your boy. You know, but yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I think overall the kingdom as a whole is anxious. They see what's happening to the earth. You know, that's why we're having the increase in the storms and the weather changes, as well as the global warming. The nature spirits also are being called up to assist in the cleansing and the clearing. And so whenever we hear of disasters, if you can just change your viewpoint and see that nature is at work there doing her right and sacred work, and she can transform anything that we've done. But it's at a point now where it would be so wonderful if we could be in alignment with nature's energy, all of us, instead of just a few of us. More of us are awakening all the time, but I still feel like we have such a long way sometimes to go, especially when you read about the Soviet bloc countries and the incredible pollution that's there that we don't even know the extent of yet. It's just heartbreaking. In our own country, we've done plenty that is unforgivable. But to dump plutonium or radioactive waste into water, a living thing like water, you know, that's just so criminal, in my opinion. It just makes me weep. So, well, oh gosh, it's 9:15. I was going to say, let's close with a little meditation on the nature spirits, but maybe we'd better just close, especially if people have a long way to drive. I'll stop and put the music.